good to be here again, to meet in the house of the Lord again. It's a blessing to be together and today to worship the one that makes life worth living. It was, yesterday was a big day. Maybe some of us have the school sale blues this morning, if you want to put it that way. Or maybe just plain tired. So if you see somebody sleeping, David might have to just have you stand up for a while. But we have so much to be thankful for. You know, it was a beautiful day yesterday. It was a no one got hurt as a whole. Everything seemed to run smoothly from what I could see. You know, people enjoyed their day. You know, it was a real blessing to me. But you know, our work from yesterday is not done. It wasn't done last night. You know, there was a lot of people there was a lot of interaction there. There was a lot of people you talked to. You know, don't forget that to pray for those people and pray that God would continue to work. You know, we don't know what those people were going through, those lives that we interacted with yesterday, and what did they see? You know, some of the jobs yesterday, you know, weren't so noticeable or maybe even desirable. You know, there was trash cans to keep empty. There was trays to keep washed. There were bathrooms to keep clean. But, you know, those things are just as important, if not more important, than those other important things. Everything is important. Everything needed to be done. Everything worked together. You know, as you observed expressions and the responses of people yesterday, you know, I wondered what lay behind the facade. You know, what kind of hurts, what kind of pain, or what they had been through. You know, some seemed to be genuinely at peace. Others clearly didn't have peace. And how did my words and expressions affect them? Was I an encouragement to them? Or was it a meeting of no effect? Or worse, did it have a negative effect? You know, I was blessed by watching all of you yesterday. It was a lot of the time there wasn't really much time to watch, but when I could observe, it was a blessing to watch people interacting and helping each other. And somebody call out for something and somebody be right there running after it. You know, it was, you know, isn't that the way the Christian life should be, the church life should be? Helping each other, covering for each other, readily jumping in and doing whatever needs to be done. You know, these things don't just happen. You know, it takes effort. There's a lot of work behind the scenes. Takes discipline and dedication. Takes being optimistic. Recently, I ran across an article that the headline of it just kind of jumped out at me, and I was impressed with the 12 points this young fellow. He was somewhere around 24 years old when what he was writing about here. But at 24 years old, he found himself a very busy person. Doing what was ideal in life, maybe, is he had a good job. He was so busy he didn't have time to do those things that he really wanted to do. He didn't have time to do, but he was very involved, and he was making a career for himself. And he knew that many would love to be in his position. It made it kind of difficult for him. He didn't know, but there was a vacuum there. There was something missing. And he woke up one morning to the ringing of his iPhone alarm. And he pondered, he said, do I have everything or nothing at all? And he found this quote, and he put in this article from Dan Millman. He said, I'd always believed that a life of quality, enjoyment, and wisdom were my human birthright and would be automatically bestowed upon me as time passed. I never suspected that I would have to learn how to live and that there were specific disciplines and ways of seeing the world I had to master before I could awaken to a simple, happy, uncomplicated life. That's what we all want, isn't it? A simple, happy, uncomplicated life. Well, the interesting thing to me is that this young man, he quit his job. He traveled all over the world looking for happiness, trying to figure out what brought happiness. He found these 12 points that he said were very important. They were given by a psychologist. And they're given them from basically a secular viewpoint, but the thing that stood out to me is that, you know, every one of these points are found right here. And I'm going to go through this list a little bit, and not necessarily in the order I think they should be, but it's in the order they are, that were given, and give some verses that go along with them. But number one was to express gratitude. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I believe the people of God should be a thankful people. You know, if you're around children that aren't grateful, children that aren't content with what they have, you know, they aren't real pleasant to be around. And I wonder sometimes how God looks at his children. You know, does he think we're kind of pleasant to be around? Or, you know, does he see a lot very ungrateful for what we have? And it's not always easy to do in adversity. You know, if it was only this life that we had to look forward to, then it would be a total different picture. It would put a different perspective on it. Point number two was cultivate optimism. And I couldn't just find a verse that says that we need to be optimistic. There probably is one there, but unfortunately my time was a little short this morning. But I believe our Sunday school lesson, we have Joshua and Caleb. They were optimistic. When we were talking about them in our Sunday school lesson, but thinking of when they went to spy out the land, they came back optimistic. You know, the land is ours. You know, we can, you know, with God, all things are possible. You know, David was a man that remained optimistic, even in despite of great opposition and mistreatment. And we see Joshua still in our Sunday school lessons that we've been going through. You know, he was optimistic. You know, the land is yours. You can take it. And we'll probably come back to that a little more. Point number three was avoid overthinking and social comparison. I had to think of that verse that says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." You know, we must be, God created us, he made us, we must be ourselves. Comparing ourselves with someone else can be poisonous. If we think ourselves somehow better than the other person we're comparing with, it gives us an unhealthy sense of superiority. It is pride. The other way can also be pride. You know, we're not up to power, we can't do it like they can. So we're just not going to do it. You know, shouldn't we compare ourselves to the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit show us the things that need to be changed? Point number four was practice acts of kindness. You know, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. A very familiar verse, probably one of the first ones we've learned as children. The fruit of the Spirit, there in Galatians, he talks about long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. I believe these things all go along with kindness and reaching out to each other. Number five, nurture social relationships. You know, God didn't create us to be hermits. He said it was not good for man to be alone. You know, we all need friends, and the best way to have that is to be a friend, you know, to reach out to others. Don't be overbearing, but be there. If you see a need, help out. Be optimistic, encouragement to others, not a continual drain. Remember to be friends to everybody, you know, not feel like we just need this one friend just for ourselves. It can be suffocating to someone. We need to try to include all, or at least not to be sure people are included. We need each other to balance ourselves out. Number six, develop strategies for coping. You know, to think of the verses in Peter there, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then Jesus says in Matthew, I believe it was, is with God. With men, this is not possible. With God, all things are possible. Now, tough things are inevitable. You know, people will let us down. Promises will be broken. How do I respond? You know, when the washing machine breaks down Monday morning. Or I go to take the children to school, children, and the tire's flat. Or I go for that tool, and I know I put it there. I know where it belongs, but it's missing. I desperately need it. Or someone promised to be there today and he doesn't show up. And how do we deal with these things? How do we respond? Number seven, learn to forgive. I thought that was interesting. Learn to forgive. We quoted the verse out of Ephesians there, forgiving one another even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Matthew 18:35 says, so shall likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I thought those verses kind of all went together. And again, a call to be thankful, grateful. Number 8, increase flow experiences, and which would have been a little bit of a new word to me, a new thought. Flow is a state of mind in which it feels like time stands still. You're so focused on what you're doing that you become one with the act, the task. You may even forget meal times. You know, you ever been so involved, you're going, and you just can't believe it. You totally missed it. It's an hour or two past. Action and awareness merged. It's important to be active. And whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Again, you know, everything we do should be for Christ and a call to gratefulness, thankfulness. Now, does the Word of God do that to us? Is it meaningful to us? Do we love that time alone with God? I believe other activities are also good. We need physical exercise. Paul says, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. But you know, it is, I think we can compare it to, you take a good game of some kind where people are absolutely involved. They forget everything else. They're into that game. And everything occupies their minds. You know, that's, you know, we need, and I think those things are good on the physical side, but in the spiritual, Christ needs to be all and in all, everything to us. We'll look at that a little more in one of the later points. Number 9, savor life's joys. You know, can we slow down enough to enjoy the moment, the here and the now? It's the simple things in life that can be the most rewarding if we can take the time to experience them. It would be interesting to hear about the things that touched some of you all yesterday, but we won't take the time for that right now, but I'm going to relate one little story from yesterday. I intercepted a little girl walking along to the gym. She had a very pleased expression on her face. She just looked like she just had this smile that just radiated with bliss. She had she was carrying a cup in her hand and a fork, and I bent down there, and it was apple cut in about 8 pieces, I guess, or however they did it, and it had caramel all over it. And I bent down and I asked her what part she's going to share with me, the caramel or the apple. I said, I'll take the caramel and she can have the apple. And I could just tell by the expression on her face, she looked at me and that was no deal. It wasn't going to work. And then I noticed that there really wasn't a whole lot of caramel left and the apples weren't even touched. And I asked her if maybe I could just take the apples and she could have the caramel. And I could tell we could have worked that one out, but I kind of lost interest then. But, you know, it was a blessing. Those little things in life that make your day, the little joys in life. The next one, commit to your goals. You know, what is our goals? What is our main goal in life? What are we here for? Are we wholly committed to Christ? You know, that's what brings purpose in life. Whatever it takes, like Abraham, you know, wherever he leads. Or like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Be committed. Number 11, which I think should be the first one, and not exactly worded like this, but practice spirituality. You know, I believe it shouldn't be a practice necessarily. It needs to be practiced, but it needs to be a part of us, who we are. He says, in his writing there, he says, we need to recognize that life is bigger than us. We surrender the silly idea that we are the mightiest thing ever. It enables us to connect to the source of all creation. And go, there was some more there, but, you know, that has some, I thought, very valid points there. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, but to us there is but one God, the Father of all, the one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. You know, we are nothing of ourselves. It's only through Christ that we can do anything. And if we don't have that first, if he is not first place in our life, we're going to miss all the rest of these. They're not going to be, we're not going to be able to truly be what he'd have us to be. And the last point, take care of your body. I had to think of the verse that's in Corinthians. It says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." You know, I believe God expects us to take care of ourselves so that we can be useful in his kingdom. He ends the article like this. He says, "So there you have it. No new flashy car or leather jacket needed. Just simple, scientifically grounded wisdom for long-term happiness. These are the things that you can start implementing today with or without a career change. So hope you pick up on one thing and commit to it." Well, it was a challenge to me, and I trust it is to you, an encouragement. You know, as people of God, are we little Christ? Does the world see Jesus when they look at you, like the songwriter says? And let's make it a part of us, not just something we practice. It's important to practice it, even if we don't feel it, that's true. But of ourselves, we won't be able to be a truly happy person. You know, we can put on the facade, but let's be sure it's the real thing, that we can have the joy of the Lord in our hearts, or we will miss the blessing. Let's kneel for prayer.